The Lindy's Football Report. This is the Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. College football in depth and complete in 30 minutes. The Lindy's Football Report is brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors and U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish.
Here's the snap and Lewis to throw. Going end zone, back shoulder. Up in the air, the catch is made. Touchdown, Tigers! They've got the lead. They've saved the season for now.
There's the snap. It's a keeper for Diego Pavia. Runs toward the right.
There's Diego's
the end
touchdown.
Zone. Touchdown, Vanderbilt. Diego Pavia, a must-have moment. It's the magician, Diego Pavia. Saved that kid a seat in New York City.
KC backpedaling. SEC logo. Fields at the 22 near the LSU sideline. Comes to the left. High tackle. Doesn't get him. 40-yard line. He cuts back to the right. 45.
He's gone.
KC.
He's gone.
You heard my partner. KC. Gone. Touchdown. Aggies.
Maybe you call it put up or shut up. Several teams entered last weekend with a chance to make a point. Some did, like Vanderbilt and Texas A&M. And a few didn't. And in the race for the Group of Five spot in the playoffs, Memphis took a giant step with a last-second win over South Florida. As we continue to basically eliminate teams for the playoffs week after week and maybe add a few.
There is one Group of Five spot for the college football playoff, Graham, in Memphis. Took a big step forward after they had lost to UAB with its brand new coach the week before. FPI gives them 18% chance of making the playoff. USF 25%, who they just beat. Shoe-ins for the playoff already, just going and giving their ticket 90% chance. There's three or four of those, like Indiana and Ohio State and Alabama. I'm just not so sure about that, Graham. Just as much as these percentages look on these game casts, I think it was 1.6% that Texas had to come back and beat Mississippi State when they were down 38-21. What happened in that game? Maybe we shouldn't pay so much attention to the percentages. There's still a lot of football left to be played.
What was the Harrison Ford line? Never tell me the odds. Probably works right here. Star Wars.
I do remember that.
Yeah, there we go. Another week, another firing. LSU announced on Sunday that Brian Kelly is no longer the head football coach for the Tigers after a disappointing loss to Texas A&M at home. A trip to the SEC championship game in his first year wasn't enough to earn the faith of the LSU fans. He is the third coach in the SEC to be given his walking papers already this season. That's 12 FBS coaches now gone as we reach November.
Let's go back to the first week of the year. After the opener, Brian Kelly finally won one of those games. They go to number three in the rankings, LSU. He and James Franklin were both getting number one votes for their teams then. You remember that, right?
Right.
Then they lost their first game of the season shortly thereafter, about a month into the season. And then the next week, James Franklin is fired. And then a few weeks later, Brian Kelly is fired. This has happened in a matter of weeks, Graham. It's amazing how things have changed over that time. I will give you an interesting tidbit, which many of you probably heard this week. James Franklin was third highest paid on the buyout scale. Brian Kelly is now the second highest paid on the buyout scale. The payoffs to get them out of there, to fire them. And Jimbo Fisher has had that number one spot for a while. You know, the guy that hired Jimbo Fisher, the same guy that hired Brian Kelly.
Yes.
Wonder what his stock is this day and age.
You know, the irony for me is that Jimbo Fisher has stated, actually he stated before the season began, I want to get into coaching again. There's going to be plenty of spots open. I wonder if he'll get one of them.
Well, I want to as well. And then they can fire me and pay me $70 million or something.
I think you're on the right track there. Well, speaking of fired coaches, the matchup between Penn State and Ohio State had a different feeling a few weeks ago, but with the Nittany Lions hitting the skids, losing four straight, firing James Franklin, suddenly this one doesn't have the bite it used to. In fact, there seems to be more focus in Happy Valley on who the next coach will be, as opposed to how Penn State will end the eight-game losing streak to the Buckeyes. Jed Donahue of Pennsylvania Sports Network has an idea. Is it Matt Rhule?
He's got ties with Kraft. When Kraft was at Temple, Rhule was the head coach there. And Bill Temple, you know, finished what Al Golden started there and actually had Temple in the top 15. So the Kraft is very tight with Matt Rhule. It's going to be awkward because Nebraska comes to play here at the end of the year on the next to last week of the season. But I mean, they'll probably interview some other guys, but it's got to be Matt Rhule.
Well, I don't know who the new coach at Penn State's going to be, but one thing is for certain, whoever it is going to have to figure out how to win these big games.
Yeah, and Matt Rhule at Nebraska, another proud tradition there, has not been able to get it done yet there either. He's in year three, and his record overall is 24-17. So if he's the next guy, I'm not confident that that's going to work out either. Although it's kind of tough to find a Grand Slam hire. I know some of the guys we've already mentioned were supposed to be. Look at Penn State. They've got to be able to win these kind of games if they keep the next guy. And they've lost eight straight against Ohio State. And not many people giving them a chance this weekend. Three touchdown underdog. Do you remember the beginning of the year?
Oh, yeah.
They were the pick in the Big Ten over the defending champ Ohio State. As I said, they were getting number one votes.
And just to take you back to last year, this game last year, Penn State was the favorite by 3.5 points. My, how times have changed.
Yeah. Going to be tough to score 3.5 points against this Ohio State defense.
I think you're
5.9
right.
5.9 per game is what they give up.
Wow. Well, during his weekly press conference, Ole Miss coach Lane Kiffin had a little fun when asked about the comments made by Oklahoma coach Brent Venables regarding which of the two teams were better, and this after Ole Miss had defeated the Sooners by 8 points on Saturday in Norman.
Following the game, Coach Brent Venables said he felt like he had the better team. Just your overall thoughts on that.
That's an interesting take. I wouldn't have thought that people watching would say that. One, we won at their place and won by 8 points. And I think we left a lot out there. I think we should have won by a couple scores. So I don't know how he evaluated that game, that they were the better team. I mean, we had way more yards, 21 first downs to 14, and we played, 87 plays of offense, and they had one sack and didn't force any turnovers. That's a interesting take.
And also following up to road trips
maybe
to Georgia.
Maybe they had the better team last year, too, when we beat them. Sorry.
Yes, sir. Following up on the road against Georgia.
Maybe they had the better team in Oklahoma when we beat them 55-19 in the national championship. Maybe they had the better team at Clemson when we beat them 45-40 in the national championship at Alabama. Next question, my bad.
Well, Ole Miss is in good position to make their first ever appearance in the college football playoff this season, heading into the showdown with South Carolina, who tested number 4 Alabama last Saturday, thanks to quarterback Lenora Sellers. So, should be interesting to see how this one works out. Kiffin had something to say about him.
You know, this is a really challenging week against a very, very talented and dangerous team that we're playing, and one that, you know, had Alabama beat all the way till the end of the game. So, anytime that you have really talented players and you have an elite quarterback, you know, size speed ratio is off the charts. And, you know, he gives people a lot of problems. This guy, I think, has had more missed sacks against him than any quarterback in the country, tackles or sacks combined, because he's really hard to bring down.
Here's the amazing stat for Ole Miss. The Rebels don't leave the state of Mississippi for the rest of the regular season. They go to Starkville, but they also can't take the Gamecocks for granted. We saw what happened last weekend.
Yeah, I think the SEC is that kind of league where even the teams that haven't been so good are very dangerous, and we saw that against Alabama. I don't know if you've seen this, Graham, this funny little meme going around with Lane Kiffin sitting there with all the different hats of the universities in front of him and making his pick like a recruit would. He is the hot name for coaching vacancies right now, and he doesn't seem to be too affected by all that noise. His team just keeps winning. Still a few hurdles, yes. I know they were last year the team on the outside looking in because they tripped up. Things do look pretty good for them to make the playoff. The SEC does have 4 teams with 7-1 records outside of Texas A&M, which is undefeated.
Yeah, we're getting into elimination time. I would make this point. No, I haven't seen the hat trick thing, but I did hear Nick Saban say, I'm not so sure that leaving Ole Miss is the decision to be made. Who says that Florida or LSU or any other program is a better one than Ole Miss right now? So something to keep in mind as we watch that transpire. Well, like Alabama, Texas survived a scare on the road against Mississippi State last week. The Longhorns needed a 17-point comeback to force overtime. They also lost starting quarterback Arch Manning at a critical time at the end of the game, but Matt Caldwell came in to throw what was the game-winning touchdown pass to complete the comeback. They're at home. But here comes college football's celebrated darling, Vanderbilt. which is getting a lot of hype for the playoffs and Heisman talk for Diego Pavia. Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian believes his unique style of play makes preparation difficult.
Well, I think there's layers to what you have to prepare for with him. Is one, the pass game, you know, and his ability to find the big receiver, his ability to find the tight end, and they're very creative in getting him the ball. I think two, the triple option aspect of their offense and him making those decisions in the option game. Three is the direct quarterback run game that they use and the quarterback powers and things. And then four, the ad-lib plays that he makes. He's very good at ad-lib plays. The first touchdown last year against us was an ad-lib play with the sprint out that he ends up scoring on. So you have to defend him kind of in layers. And you've got to be very detailed. You got to have great eye discipline against this group and against him. And you got to make sure you do a great job setting your edges, or he can get on the perimeter on you quick.
Sark announced earlier in the week that Manning was in concussion protocol day to day, but he also seems confident that Caldwell will fill the need as it goes.
I'll say Manning did have a pretty good game overall last week, 346 and three TDs, but Caldwell picking up the slack when they needed him. You know, one thing about the quarterback matchup in this one is the fact that Diego Pavia has been the all-star this year when you compare the two quarterbacks. Arch Manning was everybody's favorite coming in, and he's not in the top 10 of the SEC in pass efficiency, while Diego Pavia is number 3 in that category. And if you want to go back to last year and look at this matchup in Nashville, a very good game with Texas, who played for the SEC title, 27-24, they escaped Nashville. This is a toss-up again this year.
Yeah. 2.5-point favorite? Is that what Texas is? I believe that sounds right. Georgia and Florida renew their rivalry in Jacksonville on Saturday. This before the game moves for a couple of years to different sites in Atlanta and Tampa Bay. That's due to construction on the Jacksonville stadium. Florida fans are contemplating the next coach, while Georgia is looking to stay in the running for the playoffs. The Gators will, more than likely, go as their quarterback goes. DJ Lagway has been a conundrum this season, but Georgia is aware of his abilities. Patrick Garvin of UGA Sports sees this one coming down to the quarterbacks.
I can see him having success. I mean, especially at the beginning, but especially because not only Georgia's pass defense is as poor as it can be, but they have a real hard time pressuring the quarterback. Only 8 sacks this year in 7 games. So that's something to look at.
Georgia has been in control of this series for quite a while. They're working on a 4-game winning streak.
Yeah, and Lagway is the difference if they are going to knock off Georgia and possibly derail their title hopes. Not only 4 in a row, but 7 of 8. Kirby Smart has really owned this series since he's been in Athens. While Florida's trying to just get bowl eligible, Georgia is trying to reach the college football playoff. Even if they don't win the SEC, and they're kind of on the outside looking in the SEC title game, they go ahead and win out this year. This team is obviously in the college football playoff. One interesting stat here, Graham. The last 3 games of the series, Florida has scored 20 points.
I would also point out one more thing about Georgia. Their schedule, if you looked at it before the season, you saw their last 3 or 4 games, you said, they should be in good shape. But look at Georgia Tech. They're undefeated. You got other games in there that it's going to make it a tough final 3 or 4 games for the Bulldogs. And one more thing. As we enter week 10 of the college football season, buyout has become the buzzword thanks to a number of coaches fired already this season. As we record this show, 11 coaches have been let go, now up to 12. Large sums of money on contracts of varying lengths being paid out. At this moment, Colorado State owes Jay Norvell just $1.5 million, which is the lowest amount, that being due to a private school's not releasing their information, such as Stanford, who fired Troy Taylor back in March. They're not required to publish the numbers. Brian Kelly, who was let go earlier this week, is reportedly owed the most, more than $52 million. If you add up the entire amount of buyout money, it's $169 million. Of that total, the top 3 on the money list, Kelly, former Penn State coach James Franklin, and former coach Billy Napier, have a combined contract buyout of more than $123 million. That's a lot of cash being thrown around, but then consider where the salaries are for the FBS coaches. not including private schools such as Duke, Boston College, Tulane, Northwestern, 94 of 122 listed salaries are at least $1 million, with the highest paid to Georgia's Kirby Smart with more than $13 million. Three other coaches at the end of the list at $1 million. The average salary in the Southeastern Conference is close to $8 million. And those numbers don't include incentives or bonuses paid out for winning conference championships, making the playoffs, winning a national title. Being a college football coach is certainly a lucrative deal, but it comes with high expectations. If you don't believe it, ask one of those who are looking for a new job. For this week's U.S. Farm Race Catfish Catch of the Week, we head to the home of the Blues, where the Memphis Tigers got a late touchdown pass from Cortez Rahm to Brendan Lewis for 10 yards with just over a minute left in the game to beat South Florida. Here's Dave Woolishin with a call on the Tigers Sports Network.
Here's the snap and Lewis to throw. Going end zone, back shoulder. Up in the air, the catch is made. Touchdown, Tigers! They've got the lead. They've saved the season for now.
Remember, for the tailgate 10 of the pregame party, U.S. Farm Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. To find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
This is the Lindy's Football Report.
Lindy's, America's leader in providing great magazines and specialty publications covering the gamut of sports. For daily updates, check out lindysports.com with original content, including features, columns, and predictions. lindysports.com also features photo galleries, fantasy sports news, and up-to-the-minute items to keep you abreast of events from the ever-changing realm of sports. Lindy's, America's leading sports authority.
Saturdays are all about college football. Your tailgate matters too. Make it great with U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish. Catch up on all the great recipes by visiting our website. Check out our videos and learn about how U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish makes every Saturday exceptional, no matter the outcome of the biggest games. As always, it's fresh from our ponds to your plate. Remember, like we say every week, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. Find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
At Academy Sports and Outdoors, we carry all the gear you need from the top brands, all at prices you'll love. And now shopping at Academy is more convenient than ever. We offer free assembly on in-store purchases of most bikes and grills. Plus, free and easy curbside pickup on Academy.com orders. Want to save even more every day? Open and use an Academy Sports and Outdoors credit card to get 5% off future purchases when you're approved. Save time and money at Academy Sports and Outdoors. Remember, fun can't lose.
The Lindy's Football Report.
Here's Michael Butler with the Academy Sports Player of the Week.
North Texas football's on a roll this season, having a 7-1 record, 3-1 in the American Athletic Conference, with its only loss to USF. A key reason for the success is Drew Mestemaker, the redshirt freshman quarterback who played for Vandergriff High School in Austin, Texas. He showed his value again on Saturday, and his numbers were nothing short of incredible. Mestemaker completed 37 of 49 passes for 608 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's no typo. He had 608 yards passing in one game, turning a tight game into a rout. Charlotte led North Texas 20-17 in the third quarter. That's when Mestemaker took over, leading the Mean Green to scoring the game's final 37 points, racking up 754 yards of total offense. For his performance, Drew Mestemaker has been recognized as the Academy Sports and Outdoors Award Player of the Week.
It's time for Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's and lindysports.com. Lynn, another coach gone, this time Brian Kelly.
Yeah, a major coach from a major school in a conference has now got three vacancies and may have more. But that's what it's become. You've got Luke Fickell in the position he's in at Wisconsin. You've got Norvell at Florida State with no job security at all. And some other SEC coaches. And I still think that a primary reason for this is the early signing period in December, because you just can't afford, if you're going to be a major school, to be going into the signing period and letting your rivals be in a more stable position than you are. And I think the transfer portal coupled with that. I think you got those two reasons that are really making this more viable.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think the firings are done. Well, next Tuesday, the first CFP poll comes out, and I just ask you, will it mimic what the AP poll looks like or has looked like?
You know, I think it will to some degree, but I looked at the AP poll, knowing that we were going to talk about this. I looked at the AP poll, and you've got a lot of teams that normally would not be in these positions. I mean, you know, Georgia Tech in recent years, certainly. Virginia, Vanderbilt, you know, with Pavia, what they've become the last 2 years. Brigham Young, undefeated and a top 10 team. You know, Cincinnati, you've got Navy as an undefeated team, but still got its most difficult games to play. So I think there will be, you know, the new top 10 will come out on Sunday before the new poll, the CFP poll, comes out on Tuesday. But I think we're going to see a good many changes, Graham, before that comes, because of the opposition that some of these ranked teams have.
All right, let's get into some ball games. And here's the irony of some of these. We got one or two that we thought would be for basically top seed or one of the top five spots. It's not. And then we got a couple that we didn't have any idea we'd be picking them. So let's start with the one that is not living up to expectation, Penn State at Ohio State.
I've got to go with Ohio State. I hate it for Penn State, what's happened to their situation. Certainly bad luck on the injury part, and then Coach Franklin being dismissed. But playing at Ohio State, with Ohio State playing for the top position, I got to go with Ohio State.
And then on the other end of the spectrum, we have Vanderbilt at Texas. Who would have thought we would even pick this game before the season?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you had no thought that this would happen, particularly with Vanderbilt having a better record. They've got one loss, and Texas has two. So, you know, I'm going to go with Texas. You know, their players by ranking should be more talented players overall. You know, they're playing at home. Vanderbilt now is trying to prove that it's not a fluke, and a lot of people are thinking that's the case. But I got to go with Texas to win the game.
South Carolina almost pulled off the upset last week against Alabama. Now they go to Oxford and take on Ole Miss.
Yeah, I got to go with Ole Miss. You know, this is a South Carolina team that's got some injury situations, and, you know, Texas is on the line for Texas. If they're going to play for the championship, they can't lose another ball game. So I'm going with Ole Miss at home.
How about Oklahoma and Tennessee?
I like Tennessee. I think Tennessee's a better team. They're playing at home, and I'm still not sold on Oklahoma, so I'm going with Tennessee.
And then down in Jacksonville, it'll be Georgia and Florida.
Going with Georgia. A lot of years when Georgia's seemed to have a better team, Florida's pulled the upset. I don't think this will be one with Florida having, you know, what's going on and off the field. I've got to go with Georgia to win that ball game.
How about your upset special?
I'm going to go with to the military academies. You know, Tuesday, the 11th of November, is Veterans Day. Always appreciative for what the military does to, guarantee our freedom and security. I'm going to the Air Force-Army game being played in Colorado Springs. I'm going to take Air Force.
That's this week's Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. Brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors and U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish.